So at the end of the service last week, someone said to me after the sermon on Jesus' visit with Mary and Martha that they had probably heard maybe 20 sermons on that text over the course of their lifetime. And that right there points to one of the most challenging parts of preaching, especially preaching to a group of people who have spent a long time in church. How do we come to a text that is so familiar to us and listen together for something new that God might want to show us today? Well, today's passage is even more challenging from that perspective. Now, to be fair, we don't always need a new message. Sometimes a very familiar, trusted truth is exactly what we need for God to provide the love and the care that he knows that we need today. And certainly that may be exactly the case this morning as we think about the Lord's Prayer together. But it also may be that there is another aspect, something perhaps new for us to discover, something we've maybe not quite seen before. Something that might be timely for us, for the realities of our life today. We'll see how this happens this morning. You can let me know afterwards. But before we turn to the text, will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you grace us with so much. Your love, your promises of life, and your presence here with us. As Jesus has reminded us at the end of this reading, you don't hesitate to give yourself, God the Holy Spirit, to us if we ask. And so now we ask that your Spirit might be moving within and around us, helping us to hear what you're saying to each of us, and even more, sinking that message into us so that it might truly bring life to us and to others through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are, Luke's recounting of how Jesus has given us one of, if not the most beloved prayer in the Christian faith, the prayer that most of us refer to either as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. By the time Jesus had shared this prayer with them, his disciples had been with him for a long time, and they had seen firsthand how central prayer was in his life. On this day that we've read about, after he had finished what seems to be a time of personal prayer, one of his disciples approached him and asked him to teach them to pray like he prayed. And so he did. He taught them these words of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I suspect that the disciples had recognized that prayer wasn't just an important ritual for Jesus. It was more than that. It must have been obvious to them that prayer was essential in his life and in the ministry that he was doing. I suspect they realized that it was through prayer that he remained intimately connected with God the Father, and that this relationship both sustained and guided him as he lived out his mission. I can imagine that as they watched him pray, they might have realized that for Jesus, prayer was as natural as breathing. Well, it might not be quite that natural for us, but it is an important way that we live and practice our faith. The particulars of how each of us pray and how often we pray will vary among us. But regardless of your personal preferences, the truth is that it's pretty difficult to be a follower of Jesus without some kind of a practice of prayer. And for many of us, it may be that the Lord's Prayer is the first prayer we ever learned, and it may still be the prayer that we pray the most frequently. Now, unlike many of you, I did not learn the Lord's Prayer in school. I started school right after they stopped that in BC schools. But I did learn it as a child when I was given a little ornament with the words of the prayer written on it. It was a little porcelain heart, and I kept it in my bedroom on a bookshelf. Over time, I read those words over and over and over again, and I gradually began to memorize them, as children do as they're learning to read. My mom explained to me that it was a prayer. It was what we said when we wanted to talk to God. She was very wise. She kept it very simple for me. So this is the first prayer I can remember consistently praying. And honestly, for a very long time, it was probably the only prayer I consistently prayed. Years before I showed any interest in Jesus, I knew and prayed the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't rational. It was kind of really more visceral for me. It was just the words that I went to when I felt like I wanted to reach out to God. Well, that childhood practice probably explains one of my most profound experiences with the Lord's Prayer. One Sunday, a number of years ago, about 20 minutes before I was supposed to leave my house to come to church, my parents called to tell me that there had been a sudden and tragic death in our family. My sister's husband had been killed in a plane crash the night before. Now, for some reason, it never occurred to me not to come to church that day. I kind of went on autopilot, I think, and I just kind of was compelled to come to worship. This was where I wanted to be. I can remember coming in and sitting in the far back corner, which was not where I normally sat. That was as far as I could make it. I was kind of numb. It was like I was in a dense fog. I was in shock. And so I wasn't able to really engage with anything in the service, not the songs or the reading, and not the sermon, which was what I usually kind of listened intently to, word for word. But for one brief moment, I did surface. As the person who was leading the prayers of the people said the words, "Our Father who art in heaven," my mind suddenly clicked and picked up on it. And I started to say those words along with you all. I remember feeling in the moment like it was a lifeline that had been thrown to me. When I couldn't function otherwise, the one thing that seemed to ground me and bring me back to reality was the Lord's Prayer. And we see this often, especially when we get to pray with people who are elderly and suffering from dementia. They may not be able to really engage with all that's happening around them until we start to say these beloved words. And then you'll see their lips start to move as they start to form the words and follow along. It's visceral. It's like this prayer gets woven into our being. And it can connect us somehow, even in those times when otherwise connection seems impossible. So for many of us, because of that depth of connection, the Lord's Prayer is a treasured part of our faith. There's obviously something about it that God uses to reach us and to shape us profoundly. So today, rather than going through the prayer line by line, let's explore it together from a more holistic, overall perspective. Can we listen for what it is about this prayer that has made it so powerfully formative for so many of us? Well, the whole prayer is rooted in the idea of us being in a relationship with God. To pray is to reach out and connect to God, to talk with God, as my mom taught me as a little girl. Praying is itself an act of relationship, a vital act. And so even moving to pray affirms that basic truth we hold, that the God we believe in wants to be in relationship with us. Well, so too do the words of the Lord's Prayer. In directing us to start by praying, "Our Father," Jesus has actually taken us beyond the generic idea of relationship to define it. God is, in a heavenly way, our parent. This is the closest human relationship we have that helps us to understand the relationship God wants to have with us. God is the very best version of a parent, and we are God's children. Just as children are dependent on their parents for love, care, provision and protection, and sustenance of life, so too are we dependent on God for all of those things, whether we always remember that or not. So as God's children, we don't need to feel any shame in seeking God for our needs. We can humbly make our requests, trusting in God's faithfulness to us. We pray starting Our Father because this is how God wants us to know and trust and relate to Him as the ideal version of what a parent can be. Well, there's something else in that opening address Jesus has given us, something that threads its way throughout the whole rest of the prayer. It's that Our part. The Lord's Prayer is a beloved prayer for many of us. But to hold this prayer only individually is actually to miss much about it, much that Jesus quite intentionally included when he taught it to us. The prayer, you'll notice, doesn't say much about me or I. It uses language like our and we and us. Language that reminds us that we aren't just individuals on our own. We're part of a community. And so whether we're saying this prayer alone or with others as we do here every Sunday, it is in its essence a corporate prayer, a prayer prayed by the community of Jesus' disciples. And that's not just the community of St. Stephen's gathered here on Sunday, July 28th, 2019, but the community of Jesus' disciples that exists around the world, all the people who are gathering to worship God together today. And the community that has actually existed for 2,000 years, who have ever worshipped in the name of Christ. This is our prayer to our Father. And praying it is actually one of the most enduring ways the Christ Church has stood together since our beginning. It's also one of the very few ways we have left with all of our divisions to be able to still find to stand together. So as we pray, Our Father, and give us this day, forgive us our trespasses, deliver us from evil, we're praying these things not just for ourselves, but on behalf of all who walk this way with us. So the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, and we will do that in a few minutes together, you might want to stop for just a moment. Think about the people on either side of you before you start. And then when you pray, pray knowing that you're praying for them as well as for yourself. That's what Jesus taught us when he gave us this prayer, to pray for each other and to know that as we are praying, others are praying for us as well. This morning, there are people around the world praying for you. We are community. For those brief, precious, holy moments as we pray together, we truly achieve that unity and oneness that Jesus so longs for us to have. Well, in addition to reminding us that we pray together with and for each other, the phrasing of this prayer also teaches us how we can come to God in prayer. Jesus has given us very direct wording. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Deliver us from evil. When you isolate those words, it sounds kind of demanding, doesn't it? Give us, forgive us, deliver us. It's bold. And honestly, just listening to those words makes me flinch a little bit and make me feel a little bit like, wait, we kind of have no business approaching God like that. But you know what? This is what I love about Scripture. I think Jesus knew that we would think that, because right after he taught his disciples these words, he gave them that little parable, the one about the man who pounds on his neighbor's door at midnight. The man had a surprise guest arrive, and he had no food to give him. So he goes to his neighbor to try to roust up something. Well, the neighbor's in bed. He's not keen on getting up in the middle of the night, and so the man just knocks louder and harder. He's determined to get the help he needs. Jesus encourages us to approach God like that man approached his neighbor, with persistence, asking for what we need boldly and shamelessly. The NIV translation of the Bible has a wonderful phrasing around this. It says that Jesus applauds this fellow's shameless audacity. and encourages him us to pray to God with that same spirit. Shameless audacity. Not a word I normally associate with a posture of prayer. Does this mean that we come to God in self-centered arrogance like spoiled children? No, it doesn't. It means we come boldly and still with humility, admitting in our very asking that we are absolutely dependent on God for all that we need. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread, because we know that we really don't provide it for ourselves. Forgive us our trespasses, because we've done a thing or two that might need forgiving. And deliver us from evil, because without God's leading and rescue, honestly, we're lost. And we are completely vulnerable to things much bigger and more powerful than we are. So this prayer is not merely a religious act. It is our regular, honest acknowledgement of our human needs. Needs we are trusting God for. And so we pray without any shame. And we pray with great confidence that God is listening and wants to answer. We do pray with shameless audacity. Well, within this beloved familiar prayer that most of us can probably pray without even thinking, Jesus has taught us so much about how we can come to God. He finally crafted it as a prayer that we can and do pray, but also as a wonderful teaching tool by which we learn how to pray in general. One of the final things Jesus teaches us in this prayer is context. And it's a context that we can apply whenever we pray. In his entire life and ministry, Jesus' single focus was inaugurating and bringing about the kingdom God had promised. It was also the focus of this prayer. And so he taught us to begin, "Our Father who art in heaven," not heaven as in up in the clouds, rather heaven as in the kingdom of heaven, the realm where God reigns, where God's ways and God's life are bursting forth. Heaven is wherever God is. I really believe God is here with us this morning, which means this is a little piece of heaven. And so we start by praying, "Our Father who art in heaven," and we finish by proclaiming, "Thine is the kingdom. The kingdom is yours, God." And everything we pray between that beginning and that ending is prayed within that context. This is the way Jesus has taught us to pray. And it's a way that we can apply in all of our prayers, keeping in mind God's vision of his kingdom and all the promises it holds. So whether we're praying prayers of adoration and thanksgiving, or prayers of petition seeking God's help for something, or even just listening for God in prayer, remember that our prayers and our whole life with God is set within that wonderful reality of the kingdom God has promised. So let it guide your prayers. Let it shape your hearts. Praying from this kingdom perspective is a really important way we answer Jesus' call to seek first the kingdom of God. We can start in our prayers. This prayer, our Lord's Prayer, is beloved, and it is rich. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer Jesus has taught us, and it is also the prayer by which Jesus teaches us to pray. To pray like he prays. Amen.